Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Answering the Call, offering a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of local priests, deacons, and religious. And now, Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here on Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 and streaming live to you on stgabrielradio.com. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli. Pleased as always to be here as we have guests to share their unique story on how they heard the call of God and how they responded to that call. My guest today is special for two reasons. He is celebrating his 25th year of priesthood this year, 25 years of priesthood, and he is also visiting us from the Ugandan Diocese of Fort Portal, and that's in western Uganda. His name is Father Ireneo Musahucha. That's pretty good. And I'm delighted that we have the opportunity to share his vocation story with you this morning. So welcome, Father Ireneo, to Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Father, let's go ahead and start from the beginning. You're from Uganda, as I said. So were you from a small village or a larger city in Uganda? Tell us about the geography of where you grew up.
I am from a simple, small village.
Small village.
Western Uganda, not in a city. The nearest city from my home is about 40 kilometers away.
Okay. 14 kilometers, okay.
Away. Just a simple African village.
How many people in your simple African village?
In the whole village?
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to tell how many people, but it's normally in about 100.
Oh my gosh, that's a small village.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
That would be very much considered a small village.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about your family. Were you raised Catholic?
Yes, I was raised Catholic from Catholic parents. Both my mom and father were Catholics.
Was it a big family? Do you have a lot of brothers and sisters?
Yes, it's a big family. I have four brothers and three sisters, and I am the fifth boy.
Fifth boy, okay.
Yes.
And were you, I would imagine then you were practicing Catholic, as in going to Mass on Sundays, regular Mass attendance as a family?
Unfortunately, in Africa, it's not easy for a family which is living in a village to have Mass every Sunday.
Okay.
We do have Mass once in a while, mm-hmm, when we have a visiting priest.
I see. Okay.
On other Sundays, we would have to rely on catechists who conduct a liturgy of the word.
Okay.
And then we wait for a priest who would visit us maybe once or in a year or even in
once
2 years.
A year,
yes,
for a priest to come visit.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, so that was quite a special thing for the priest to come. Otherwise, you had Liturgy of the Word?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, I mean, we take this for granted that here in America we can go every Sunday, but obviously in other places in the world, that's not such a privilege.
Yes, when you have not lived there, you may not know. But those who have visited those villages actually know how
right
difficult it is to have Mass every Sunday.
Wow.
Yes.
And your whole community, I would gather, the whole community that you grew up in was primarily Catholic.
It was predominantly Catholic, but we also had some Christians of other religious denominations.
Okay.
Especially Anglicans.
Okay.
Of course, in Uganda, Catholics make between 40 to 45%. Of the population.
Okay.
They normally make the majority.
Okay.
And followed by the Anglicans. But of course, there were other people of other religious denominations, of course, a few Muslims.
Right.
But predominantly Catholic.
Or traditional African religions, or not so much
those
at that
ones
point.
Are, yes, some are still there.
But primarily, predominantly,
yes,
Catholic. Talk about your school, starting with your grade school as a young boy. Was that a Catholic school as well?
Yes, it was Catholic.
And did you have to travel there? Did you, here in America, children get on a bus and go to school. But I know I've had some guests from Africa where they said even at grade school. It was a boarding school. They went away to school. What about you?
I would have to walk.
You walked? How far?
More than 10 kilometers.
Oh, boy.
To and fro. In Africa, especially in my village, the buses, school buses are unheard of.
They're not heard of, yeah.
You can have, maybe you can get a bus on a main road, maybe what you call a highway here.
Right.
But not in the villages.
Right.
And it was not even easy to get a bicycle. Oh. We would have to walk.
So you had to walk everywhere, yes, 10 every kilometers day. To yes. get to school every day.
Yes.
Was school taught in English or was it taught in your mother tongue?
The schools in Uganda use English.
Okay.
When we're at school, when you go to school, they discourage using your mother tongue mm-hmm. so that you get acquainted with English.
Okay.
Speaking the English language. And of course, the English we speak, like now what I'm speaking, we learn it in school. And of course, when you go home, then you resort to your mother tongue,
right.
your parents and whatever.
But you grew up speaking English in school.
Yes.
And what do you remember, Father, about when you were a child growing up? What was your thought about God or your Catholic faith? Did you, it was just something you were raised with. But did you ever have that personal connection with God as a young boy? Do you remember any recollection as a young boy about your ideas of God or your faith?
Yes. I remember very well. Of course, at home we used to pray, morning and the evening, by prayers, and so recite the rosary. But my father would tell us stories. Would tell us stories when we were children at home. And as I told you, we used to see priests once, maybe a year or whatever. And my father used to tell us that those men have a chance to converse with God.
The priests, you mean,
yes,
the visiting priests.
Yes.
Okay.
And of course, as a young boy, between maybe the age of 5, 7, and 8, times you take things for literally.
Yes.
Yes. Say, this man is privileged to sit before God and they converse. Of course, you had the idea of God. You knew God, the creator.
Right.
Yes. And,
so that was attractive to you as a kid, the idea that these priests
yes.
were able to converse with God.
Yes.
And when you said your father told you stories, were they stories about the saints or stories about God, or what kind of stories was he telling you?
He was telling us stories about God.
From the Bible, maybe?
Yes, from the Bible. And of course, he told us a story about the conversion of Saul, who is now Paul.
Yes.
Yes. And I remember as a child very well, my father telling me that story.
Do you think it was back then that you began to think about the priesthood? And before I actually ask you that, the priests that were visiting, were these priests from the diocese or were these missionary priests?
They were missionary priests.
From
here, the U.S.
From America, okay.
Yes. Actually, our first bishop, the bishop of our diocese is American, Bishop Macaulay, Vincent Macaulay.
Okay, what first bishop? That's interesting.
Yes. And of course, we had the missionaries of Holy Cross and the White Fathers. Now they are called missionaries of Africa.
Okay.
But we had in our parish mainly the Holy Cross.
Okay, Holy Cross missionaries.
Yes, so I used to see Father Robert Hesse, who was an American.
And so was it then when the stories of your father, these visiting missionary priests from America, was it then when you began to think about the priesthood, or was it a little bit later?
It was a little bit later, although the idea of a priest conversing with God really inspired me. Yes, said now this is something very, very good.
How old were you when you first officially approached whoever, your parents or someone, about the idea of being a priest?
I was 17 years.
17.
Yes, in the minor seminary.
Okay.
We have minor seminaries. like now here, the equivalent of maybe high school.
Right. Yes. Okay. Mm. So you were in a seminary environment in high school.
Yes.
Okay. So that was typical. Mm. When you approached, it was your parents that you approached when you said, I'm thinking about being a priest. Is that who you first told your parents?
I first told my father.
Your father. What was his response?
And he said, I will support you.
He will support
yes.
you.
Said, I will support you.
Was he surprised at all?
He was surprised and happy.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Because in that big family, you're the only one with a religious vocation.
Yes, and he was. I don't think he was expecting it.
Okay. That one in the middle somewhere kind of get lost in the crowd,
yes,
and here he comes.
Yes.
So you went to this minor seminary, or this, a equivalent of a high school seminary, and then you graduated from there, and then you would go to a minor seminary in your diocese to study philosophy.
A major seminary.
That's major seminary in the diocese.
Seminary.
Okay.
It was in a different diocese, but on a national level.
Okay.
It was in a different diocese in a city called Masaka.
Okay.
And for philosophy, for three years.
Okay. And so during those years, you'd have 3 years actually at the seminary and 1 year internship at a parish. We'll talk about that. So what was it like? You had to live away from home to go to this first seminary. Was that difficult for you?
It was, of course, a bit difficult because I had to travel a long distance.
Mm-hmm.
By then, there was an old train which would spend about 2 days on the way going to that place.
Wow, two days of travel just to get there.
Yes, okay. Not because it was very far, but because it was very slow and maybe old, and it would stop for a long time on stations.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So it was difficult for me to travel and reach there. And of course, I would have to spend 4 months separated from my family.
Yeah.
We didn't have means of communication like we have now, cell phones and whatever.
Right. So you had to write letters if you were going to communicate.
Yes.
So you're living away from home. Did it feel comfortable? Did it feel like the right place? Did you feel like, yes, this is where I belong?
Yes, I did. The environment of prayer and mass and the morning and evening prayers. And of course, the discipline we are taught at the seminary. It helped me to see at least that this is the kind of life that I would love to live.
Okay. And during that time, you also had your 1 year internship at a parish, as we do here in America. Talk a little bit that. Did you like that internship you had at the parish?
Yes,
as a seminarian?
I liked it because I had a priest who helped me so much and guided me on how priests should conduct themselves and how priests live, and helped me to understand how pastoral work is done in the parish.
Right.
Whenever I made mistakes, of course, he would correct me.
Right.
And of course, we are not perfect.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a great part of the learning, because as a seminarian, you're learning, you know, your academics, but you do need to see what it's like to interact with people. This is what you're going to be doing, administering sacraments and counseling people, teaching people, preaching, all of that. So I'm glad. And what was your favorite part of working in that first parish as a seminarian?
I was assigned to work in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I loved it. There were some challenges. But I loved it.
Okay.
To be near the sick and help them. It was good.
Good. Wonderful. Mm. We're talking with Father Araneo. He's a visiting priest from the Diocese of Fort Portal in Western Uganda. He's visiting the parish of St. Peter in Chillicothe, which we'll talk a little bit more about in this next segment. And he's sharing his vocation story with us here on AM 820. So, Father, after your first seminary then with philosophy came 4 more years of your postgraduate school of theology. And this time now, you were going to a national seminary in Uganda, probably a larger school. So talk a little bit about that. What was that like?
This time, it was a theological In philosophy, of course, we use it to talk. I mean, we are taught to reason about things.
Reason.
The reason about things. But of course, theology emphasized faith. We are taught we are made to understand that, of course, you cannot get everything by only reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
That we are limited. Our brains are limited. We have some limitations, and in certain things we have to believe that God exists and God
faith.
Can do things. Yeah,
right. The reason, the faith. I always think of Pope Benedict. Always talking about faith and reason, right?
Yes.
But we need both.
Mm.
So you dive more into the faith than theology.
Yes.
And this is a national seminary, so seminarians are from all over Uganda, different areas.
Uganda. Yes.
But again, still English is the primary language.
Mm.
And then it's typical for when you were finished with that. Well, one last question before we leave national seminary. Was there any time that you started getting a little nervous, like, am I really ready to do this? You know, you're putting all this time, you think you want to be a priest. Did you get what we call wet feet, you know, second thought, nervous or anything when you were getting closer to your ordination?
Yes. When I was going to be ordained a deacon,
mm-hmm.
of course, that's when I had to reflect and think twice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is when you take a decision that you are not going to reverse what you have done, major orders. So you kind of become nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are some who left. Mm-hmm. But for me, I said no, have to become a priest.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, so you finish your seminary and studies, and then it was typical for you that seminarians would come back to their home diocese for their priestly ordination. So talk about what you remember of your priestly ordination back in 1993, 25 years ago. What stands out in your mind about your day of ordination?
I remember many people came for the celebration at the parish. As this characteristic of the African way of celebration. And I remember my mother came forward to congratulate me and thanked me for having achieved my goal.
Mm.
My dad this time didn't say anything, but it's my mom this time who congratulated me.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure the community had to be thrilled because, as you said in the beginning of the interview, you know, when you grew up, a priest might be there once or twice a year, and I'm sure they were elated to see more priests coming out of seminary and to see someone in their own village achieving this status. What an accomplishment that was, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought about African Catholic masses is always very colorful, music, dancing, celebrating. Is that typical of the masses that you were experiencing over there?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Did it take some time for you, Father Irineo, to get used to the idea of being a priest, like people addressing you, Father Irineo? Did that seem strange to you in the beginning?
The first day, of course, when you are ordained, like maybe today, the following day, you go home for the first mass. You celebrate it at home, in our homes. So when people begin addressing, when they were addressing me, Father, it was not easy to. It was as if it was not real.
Mm.
It was not real. And of course, all of a sudden, two men came for asked me for confession. It's not yet, you feel it is not yet part of you. So after some time, you get used.
Yeah, sometimes I would imagine if you. You know, are a priest and you're serving people you didn't know. But when you're growing up, say, Jesus, don't we know him? Isn't he that carpenter's son? What do you mean? You know, sometimes it takes not being raised in that same family, in that same community to feel like, okay, I am Father Irineo now. But it became comfortable for you after a short time.
Yeah.
It became comfortable. Well, good for us. Mm. And you had a chance to, I guess before I'll get into that story, you began your service not at your home parish. You weren't assigned to your home parish, right?
Yes, I wasn't assigned to my home parish. I was assigned to a different parish.
A different parish.
Yes.
And that's where you'd begin as your parish life.
Yes.
So what was it like to, and were you the pastor then officially at that first parish, or were you an associate pastor?
I was an associate pastor.
Associate, okay.
I found there some other pastor.
Okay.
Who had experience. That's okay. How it's normally done. Out of the seminary, they cannot just see, the bishops are careful not to say, now you are pastor.
Right. Okay. Yes. So there was that time. And did you have to travel around to the people, or did the people come from all over to you? Were you kind of a stationary priest in this one parish then?
I would have to travel to reach where people are, actually long distances.
Okay.
Yes. And of course, at first I started with a bicycle. I would have to ride about 30 kilometers to be able to reach where they are.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. So they're kind of spread thin there. Mm. And you did parish ministry for the first 13 years of your priesthood. Mm. And then in 2006, you had the opportunity to go to Rome for further studies. Tell us a little bit about Rome. The first time you left Uganda, huh? Or was that the first time you left?
Yes.
What did you think of Rome?
My idea of Rome, first of all, as a young man in Uganda, and as a young priest, was that of a very holy place, where we have our Catholic headquarters. And of course, when I reached there, I was very happy.
Mm-hmm.
St. Peter's Square for the first time. It wasn't actually, I felt it was not as real. I felt as if it was not real.
Yes.
I'm the one who is there. I was happy that I was there.
And you got your master's while you were in Rome for a couple of years. Master's in hospital?
In
care?
Pastoral health care of the sick.
Pastoral health care of the sick.
Yes.
So 2 years in Rome, getting that degree, and then you came back to your home diocese of Fort Portal. And what I want to talk to you next is this orphanage you established while you were back there. Is it Mirianti?
Yes, Mirianti.
Tell us a little bit about that orphanage.
Actually, I'm not the one who started it. It was started by some other pastor before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in now. It's now 5 years since I came in.
Okay.
Yes, it's an orphanage. Now we have about 120 children. And we help them to feel that they have somebody who cares, because these are people, they are children whose parents died and they left them behind, maybe children of about 11, 9 years, find them heading families. So we are concerned and brought them together. And the orphanage has kind of improved their lives.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Because they feel that there are people who come and they are concerned with their welfare. And of course, they are able to go to school because they rely on people of goodwill who help us. They are able to have some meals, which they weren't able to get when they were still in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to get some medical care. But still, we need some more assistance. We need some more help because we are not achieved what we feel we should. The stage, we have not reached the stage where we should actually feel we should put these children.
And is that how you formed a partnership with St. Peter's in Chillicothe to support the orphanage? Was that, how did you develop a friendship partnership with this church here in America?
Yes, there was, excuse me. There is a lady, Laura Corcon, who was they call it Episcop volunteers.
Okay.
Yes. She was in our parish.
Okay.
And when she saw the situation, she talked to people at home and who were concerned and accepted to give a contribution, mm-hmm. a big contribution, which is actually making the orphanage stand, without which wouldn't be able actually to operate.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It. Yes.
So St. Peter's has been involved now for a couple of years, because I know this is your second visit to America. You visited back in 2016, and you're here again now and for a few more weeks before you return to your diocese. Mm. So if any of our listeners are interested in finding more about that Mirianti Orphans Home, I would suggest you contact St. Peter's in Chillicothe, and they'll be happy to direct you to this. But Father Araneo, what a beautiful story. And we're so glad that you came and joined us to share that with us. We wish you blessings on your safe travels back to your home diocese and in your work there. Can you leave us with your blessing?
Thank you. The Lord be with you. And may the Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. God bless you, Father Araneo. This is Elizabeth Ficicelli, host of Answering the Call. Tune in again for another edition on Sundays and Tuesdays at 12:30. God bless.
Answering the Call is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Answering the Call with Elizabeth Ficicelli are available at stgabrielradio.com.